Bobby Lee is coming shortly. So for those people who have YouTube me and messaged me, the interview is here. We just do an intro. So
that's right.
Bobby, you can fast forward if you want. I hope you don't, because intros are sometimes fun. You get a little information. But Bobby Lee is coming up. Hilarious, intense, everything you've ever dreamed of. Holy crap. I don't think he gets more serious, Bobby Lee, than on my podcast. He opened up.
Eventually gets serious. You have to.
Right.
He will get there.
You're going to laugh. You're going to go, oh my God. And then you're going to go, wow. And then he lets it go. And then he does it. I think he does it with me because we both experience a lot of stuff in our lives. And we've been friends for a long time. And it's nice that he's comfortable enough to. He just supports me. He has such successful podcasts. He has two now. And they're both incredibly successful. And yet, I know he doesn't have any time, but he's come on the podcast again. He actually came with Kalila to the other podcast I had. And I've been on his show four times and we're just buddies. He goes, whatever you need. And that's what I like, because I have friends that are incredibly busy and they're just busy and they're not coming back on the podcast. They don't have time for it. They're doing. And I'm grateful if they even came on. So that's all you ask for. But Bobby Lee is the kind of friend. Nick Swartzen, Tom Welling, these guys come back. Stephen Amell, Jamie Lynn Sigler, they come back on the podcast. And that's really... it's really cool, man. It's cool when they take time from their busy lives to join us and share personal shit, man. You know, I don't want to get into all the coronavirus stuff. You know, you guys hear about that on the news every day. You don't want to hear it. You know, it's been a lot of stuff, and there's so much misinformation and all this, and you know, you don't know what to believe. And now I believe in quarantining yourself if you think you're at risk and you think you're at. And the big problem is, you know, I'm not a doctor, Ryan, but don't you think the big problem is spreading it to people who have weak immune systems and all these pre-existing conditions or old people? So I get it. I'm not going around them. And I'm going to try and limit the amount of people I even see, which is hard because I need to be around people.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is just wash your hands.
Be responsible.
Be responsible. Don't be a moron. Don't go out to the bars. Stay out of groups.
Yep.
We're trying to
minimize. I think if you just minimize everything right now.
Because we don't have the medical supplies to account for that.
It's crazy. It's just a crazy world. I think it really, when they said the NBA shutting down, you know, you heard South by Southwest. You said, okay,
mm-hmm.
NBA, the NHL. Then the stock market's, you're like, wow, this is. They canceled something serious.
Yeah.
But, you know, you stick together. The planet has made it through so many things. That doesn't mean you should take it lightly. It just means, you know, do the best you can and try to be responsible and smart. I'm going to end that. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. You know, before we get to my good friend, Bobby Lee, I just want to say again, thank you for listening to the podcast. I say it because, I just do. Without your subscription, without your listening and, you know, the little notification thing on the YouTube, mm-hmm. Ryan works so hard. So I commend you on that. And I really hope you guys give the video a chance. Watch it. You know, you can listen to it, subscribe, but watch it too and spread the word, share it. The interviews are great. With Jamie Lynn Sigler, I teared up. I had a tear tripping down my face. It was intense. It was beautiful, funny. It was everything. The Martin Starr, was a great interview. It was a great interview and he got deep and, just give it a chance, yeah. Also, a shout out to the Patreons. I did a live pod. I've been doing since I'm, you know, at home mostly now. I've been doing live Instagrams. I've been doing live Facebooks. And all of a sudden, people are joining Patreon. They're subscribing because the subscription to the podcast is free. But people are, you know, donating $1, $5, $100 a month to help the podcast. But by the way, you don't just do that and get nothing for it. There's bonus footage, which we're going to shoot one today. There's inside of me that the patrons get to ask. I respond a lot on there. It's like a community of friends. And I always said, if it gets to a certain point where it's big enough where, you know, it's paying for everything and we're doing well, hey, let's have a Patreon party. A Patreon party in LA. I'll rent a place out or my backyard. It'll just be Patreons, maybe a few celebs, but no randos. No randos are showing up. It's like everybody there is like, are you a patron? Yeah. Cool. Yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's it. And you, Ryan.
And me, I'm invited.
Yeah, Bryce is invited. Jess is invited. You guys all work hard.
Oh, great.
So join Patreon. Whatever is great. I appreciate that. The podcast, the live podcast, was canceled for March 31st. And that was at the North Door. And we have changed it to July 2nd. So go on my Instagram or my Twitter. It's at the North Door in Austin. and it's going to sell out. So we're doing two shows, a 7:30 and a 9:30 at the North Door on July 2nd. And that's going to, it's a Thursday night, so it's a better night for people. It's going to be great. Hopefully, you know, it gets better. Things get better. And by July, we're good to go. Camp Rosie, people have been talking about it. My first camp, adult camp I'm doing for the October Halloween weekend, 30th and 31st. You're going to go to that, right?
No, because the wedding I was supposed to go to in April has now moved to that weekend.
It was changed. Why would anybody have a fucking wedding on that weekend?
Because it's England and they don't really do Halloween stuff.
Didn't Halloween originate in Ireland?
That's not England.
But it's close.
It's not the same.
Skip and a jump.
Point being, I can't go to the Camp Rosie because right. My cousin's wedding is now that weekend.
Right. Okay. But the Camp Rosie is going to be on that weekend. Let me tell you, there'll be links soon. So just wait for it. But it will sell out. Probably 150 to 200 people. That's all that can attend. There's going to be some tickets that you can get that maybe room near my bunk or in my area, in my cabin, not bunk. You don't just. But there's bunks and cabins. But
sure.
It includes your food, your snacks, all your alcohol, your bedding, your activities, parties, costume. It's going to be a freaking blast. And we'll get more into that. So also, if you want to get any merch from Left on Laurel, my band, or the podcast Inside of You, go to Inside of You Online. We've got great podcasts coming up, great guests. And, you know, at a time like this, when we're sitting around, I hope people will continue to do podcasts. At least we had things in the can.
We got things in the can for the next...
At least a month. And great guests. So
yeah,
let's talk to Bobby Lee right now. He's hilarious. I've known him for a long time. He'll surprise you. He'll upset you.
Both
at the same time. He's something else, and he goes balls out, literally. But check this out. Check this podcast out. Let's get inside of Bobby Lee. It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You. Michael Rosenbaum. Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Who is this? I like this guy, but you sit next there?
Yeah, I sit over here.
This is Ryan. He's the engineer.
I love him. Ryan's the best.
You never met him?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
I've never met.
No. Just images now.
Oh, because I like the profile of your face. You look like a hawk.
A cock?
A hawk. Yeah, he's got one of those angular hawk faces.
Oh, like
he'd be good president.
Like Delia?
President?
Chris Delia?
Yeah, because on the coin, your profile looks presidential.
He does have a good, like a Lincoln face.
Yeah.
Like a Lincoln? All right. I'll take it.
I don't know.
Are you producing the show now or what?
Yeah, and I'm sitting here recording things and shit.
Show right now? I could just watch you interview him all day.
No, I didn't even know we were starting. I was just asking some questions. I need to know about my environment.
You thought I was going to be angry. The first thing I said to Ryan was like, Bobby's going to come in pissed off.
Who's
and
Ryan?
He's the one who's 2 hours late.
Ryan?
That's Ryan. you know, the guy you've known forever.
Yeah. No, because...
pitch meeting?
I want to be on time for you. And, you know, I said yesterday, I go... What about 4:30? And then I felt like you were like, it's got to be 4. And then all of a sudden I'm like,
what?
In my head. No, just listen. So in my head, I'm like, how am I going to, because I'm in Culver City with, what's the bald headed guy that does America's Got Talent?
Mickey Rourke. No. Who is it? Howie Mandel.
Yeah. I was with that guy and that Filipino guy.
Joe Coy.
Yeah. And then I was there with them at the Amazons. And I was like looking at the clock, and I'm just like, now 3:40.
You were at Amazon, the studio, Amazon, not the Amazons.
No, we went the Amazons in the South Africa, America, South America.
South America is where the Amazon is.
That's where we were. Yeah. Right. So I was flying there from there. No, we were at the company, and we were pitching something, and then I was like, oh, in my head, and I said it out loud. I go, Lex Luthor is going to be mad if I don't leave now. And they're like, who's Lex Luthor? I go, Michael Rosenbaum. They go, oh, we're fans, all that stuff.
You did not.
I did.
You did.
Yeah, because I was panicking.
Why were you panicking? You're the one who's like, I got to do the fucking Rosenbaum's podcast.
No, I would do anything for you. But my point is that you're the one that was like, it's got to be 4. And all. Anyway, we're here. And we're doing it.
I didn't say it had to be 4. I just said, hey, you
is
know.
Is this how you, let's, did you?
Jesus Christ. Dude.
I love you.
I'm blown away by, we haven't talked since. You went off to that wellness center. There's your coffee.
Oh my gosh, she's the
perfect best. Timing.
Thank you so much.
Look at that. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you, Jess.
I just remember you always like, you know, you're sleeping on a couch, you're doing all these things. You're always a funny, lovable guy. We all loved you. We all were rooting for you, or at least I was. And now I think you're making so much money. You are like,
you fuck you.
You are, no. Don't
oh,
try,
you fuck.
Don't try to act humble. Don't
you
try.
Fucker, you fucker, you.
No, I'm so
you
happy
bring
for
that
you.
Up like that.
You are so, listen
I
to
got
me.
Nothing going.
You're a regular dude who's now fucking doing it. Everybody wants you. You're with Howie Mandel.
This is.
Dude, you're doing a okay, you're doing two podcasts.
All right.
Hang on a second.
If you want to do this, let's
you
do it.
You used to live in an apartment. I did four podcasts. The most any guest has come on. I went to your little apartment.
You're our favorite person.
I love you. And in fact, all your fans, every time, it's funny because I would read the comments. They go, well, if Rosenbaum would do fucking video, we'd watch his fucking show. Tell that. And I was like, we got to do video. That's the reason I did video is because your fans said they'd watch if I.
And they're clever.
I listen to them.
Yeah, yeah. They're intrinsically clever.
They are. You listen to them too.
I listen to everything what they say.
Everything.
Yeah. The way I dress, the way I behave, the way I walk.
Does it bother you when they
no,
say something
bad? No, I don't
bad?
Care. Nothing. I don't care. Because I don't listen.
What's the worst thing someone said about you that's a fan that loves you but said something?
Chink. Yeah. Somebody said, shut up, you chink.
Was it a white person though?
You know how sometimes the profile photo is like, you know, of like a piece of like a flower. Sometimes they do that.
Right. So you don't know who the face
is. Yeah, I don't know
are,
what
right,
it is.
Right, right,
you know
yeah.
Or sometimes it's like, you know what I mean, the symbol of some sort of sporting team.
Right.
But the Kansas City people, whatever the team is, you know what I mean?
Kansas City
the Chiefs.
Right, right.
You know, and they won, right?
They did.
I saw the game.
No, they didn't. Yeah, they did.
I saw the game.
You were there?
No, what happened was I was in Hawaii. And I was flying to Hawaii, and in line was this Chinese fella. He was in the Hawaii 5-0.
You were in Hawaii 5-0 too?
No, Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I.
He was also in The Lost.
Was it Lost, just Lost.
What's a Chinese fella's name? Daniel. Daniel Dae Kim's.
Great, great actor.
So he's in line with me, this Chinese fella. And he goes, he's Korean.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to say it because if I corrected you and I was wrong, racist.
That's what I was. I was like,
you
were baiting
open.
You. I was baiting
you. I know
you
were.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I knew it. I didn't.
So the Chinaman said, you know, he had the Corona mask on. He didn't. And he goes, hey, I go, what's up, Chine? And he goes, come to my house to watch, because he lives in Hawaii, to watch the Super Bowl. Now, I've never seen a Super Bowl in my whole life. But when he asked me, I was like, I have to do it. So I went
do
to
you like him? Is that why you
I'm
admire
a big fan,
him?
Big yeah, fan. Yeah. And I went to his house and I watched this whole football game, the first one I've ever seen, with his kids and his family. It was actually pleasant. It seemed very normal to me, you know?
Right.
So that's how I know about the Kansas City people.
Do you act normal, like, at people's houses that aren't, like, do you like when you're hanging around normal people who don't want you to start, like, shitting on the floor or doing the licking someone's dick on camera? Like,
those are things that are blasphemous things that you're saying. I don't do either one of
those
things.
Well, I saw a video that Santino, the great Santino.
I kissed his orange sack.
Okay.
And in Korean culture, if you have
red
hair.
That's a lie. You're about to tell a lie.
That's true.
Yeah.
I kiss
no Korean culture.
I know. I kissed the sack.
You kissed the sack.
Yeah, because it's a yes.
I don't think it was a sack. I think it was a shaft. I looked at it and I think it was a shaft.
I'm the one that kissed it, so I would know.
My assistant Jess goes, you have to see this. I saw it. She goes, it's so funny. She started to show me. I don't want to see it again.
Why?
I don't know why. It wasn't like, I thought it was funny, but it was kind of like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost like, was it too much? Did you think you crossed the line?
I swear to God, I would kiss the tip of your bare dick.
You would.
For you. If you pulled it out and go, kiss the tip of my bare dick.
Of my Jewish penis.
Whatever it is.
You don't care. You're not racist.
I don't think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to know what it is.
Right.
This guy, no.
He's already going cut.
Yeah,
cut
this guy, no. I would not do him. But you
would really, if I stood up right now on camera and said, kiss the tip of my penis, you would do it.
Yeah. Because it's on camera, it's a yes and thing. You don't deny. When you're doing improv, you don't deny. Right? So if he pulls his penis out on camera, it's showbiz, friend. Right? So you have to yes and it. You can't deny it and go, I don't want to do it. That's against the improv rules.
All right.
Right? So it's like, that's the deal. So
but I heard that you apologized for it. You felt bad about it.
I didn't feel bad about it, but I feel bad because, you know, I have some reputation things out there that aren't true. And but it's like it by kissing an orange man's penis.
Orange man, you mean by redhead?
Redhead, orange man's penis on camera. It validates those rumors that aren't true about me.
Right. If he would do this, why he would do this? He would do that.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you've done some provocative things in your life.
Like what?
Well, I remember this story where you took defecated on a Comedy Central.
No, that's not true. It's Mad TV. And yes, I defecated, but that right there, I don't feel bad for, because that was called, it's Shadow Play.
What's Shadow Play?
It's a Joy Division song.
I like Joy Division.
And I don't know what but I just use it, that word, Shadow Play.
You just like it, so like
I think it's
know
like
it.
It's like play in the shadows. Right.
From the dark
two,
shadows.
Yeah, dark shadows. And number two, it was, he deserved it. The poo wasn't for, just for shock value. It was revenge.
Right. Do you think you have to up the ante? I'm being honest with you. Do you think, don't look at Ryan, don't deflect. Do you think Bobby Lee now, because you're Bobby Lee, you're a fixture, is that the right word? In America, people's homes, people know you, people
are
your internet.
Fucking
you're
Mike.
An internet.
You
are an internet sensation.
You have no idea what the fuck I've been going through lately.
What? Well, we could
the last 2 days, I've been like,
hang on. Let me finish, because you certainly make faces when I cut you off. You look at me like, oh.
Wow, you're feisty today. I love it. Go
well,
ahead.
Fuck. You
it's
know,
your show. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, do you feel like you have to up the ante all the time? Because I kissed his shaft or his sack. Now I have to go to the next thing because they're expecting more. Do you feel there's a pressure?
Well, first of all, I think that every man has kissed a shaft one time in their life.
Not by choice sometimes.
Maybe not by choice, but they have.
You think every man has at least kissed a shaft?
Yeah.
Ryan, may I ask you, have you ever kissed a shaft?
No. I have not.
Okay. So you were wrong. Does Kalila ever go, Bobby?
Bobby, what? You kissed your friends you're in business with. First of all, it wasn't his bare shit. It was through his underwear. Second of all, he said the whole bit was, smell my dick.
Did you actually smell it?
Yeah, so he pulled it out to smell it.
His real dick?
No, what you saw on the internet, right?
Right.
So he pulled it out. He goes, smell it. And I was supposed to smell it, but a switch went off, and I went... I just kissed it.
You kissed it.
And it was a European kiss. It wasn't like, you know,
it was
what
like,
I mean?
It was like an Italian kiss. Mwah.
Bonjour. Mwah. Bonjour.
That's French.
Kind of, yes. Yeah, whatever. It might be. Yeah. European. Yeah, if you, a rattlesnake bit your dick.
It's.
And you know, that whole, the whole story.
Yeah, I know the
people
story.
People make that thing. Like, if you know, when they get drunk
you
or
suck
they get
it
high,
out. And all
would
that.
You suck it out for $1 million? I would suck venom out of your dick if you were gonna die.
This you notice that what you're answering a question, and then this is what's called a non sequitur. You completely went to a rattlesnake biting my dick. By the way, inside of you fans, if you're listening, we will get to a darker place, but right now we have to let some of this sort of just land. Which what I love about this is that, you know, you have Tiger Belly right now. Now you have a new show. What's it called?
Bad Friends.
It was in the top six. Andrew Santino.
It was in the top six.
I know it is. I've never been in the top 60. All right? I'm relying on your fans for being true and loyal. No, but so I love Santino. He's very funny. You guys, I have a great chemistry.
You and I could have done one.
You didn't ask me.
You could have asked me.
Want to do one?
It's too late now.
Why?
But why a year ago?
You could be kissing
a
Jewish guy.
Why 2 years ago didn't you ask me?
You're doing a show. I didn't think you were going to wanted another podcast.
Yeah, but I'm just saying my brother Steve, you know, I would have done one with him as well if he would have asked me. Andrew's the one that went, we're doing it this date. I'm going to buy the equipment. You know what I mean? I have to be coerced into doing it.
But let me ask you something. This is a serious question. I want you to be honest with me.
Go ahead.
Do you think it's too much and now you're going to quit Tiger Belly?
No.
You think
no.
You're going to keep Tiger Belly?
100%. Tiger Belly is my number one.
So you're going to keep both of them?
Yeah.
You realize that's a lot of work.
Well, you know, Theo Vaughn has three he does.
He does?
Yeah. He has one with Schaub. He has one on his own. He has one that he does with a guest. So that's three.
Jesus.
A lot of people, you know, Rogan does four or five a week, sometimes two a day.
Would you do this only if somebody said you can never act again, no stand-up, you just do your podcast, but you're going to make millions of dollars, which you are?
No, I can't do that.
You'd say no.
Because my dream is bigger than that. My dream is, and I, you know, it's so funny because I ran into Joe Rogan last night and we were talking about how you don't need to fuck with Hollywood anymore because we are taking control of our own destinies. We don't have to wait in line. You know, you know what it's like. You wait in line, you sign up, You wait for the call.
Try to get an audition. Right, try to get a call.
And then when you get
try
on set, they tell you what to do.
So
you know,
you're in control with the podcast.
You're in control of yours as well, correct?
I am, but I don't have the luxury of, fortunately for you. Look, I love mine. I'm going to keep doing mine, and mine's doing good. But, it's like.
How long have you been doing yours?
For 2 years.
Okay. We've been doing ours, what, for four?
Yeah.
For the first 2 years, we didn't make any money.
Yeah, it's a slow thing. But I love it, and I'm passionate about it. And I'm going to keep doing it.
You're very good at it. You're very good at it. And, when you did ours, before you even had this one, I thought to myself, this is something that's down Mikey's fucking lane, man.
Well, thanks, dude. And by the way, you've been so supportive with
it. And I will always do yours, and you'll always do ours. You're family. So my point is that I don't know why I have to come in here and you be so hostile toward me and so aggressive. You know what I mean? You got eagle face over here writing down a bunch of notes.
Eagle face.
Right? You got fucking, you're accusing me of sucking dicks on the sly. You know what I mean? I don't get it. I came here, and I'm always going to do this show. And I came here for you, you fuck.
Do you know what? I ask Kalila sometimes, because she keeps your life together. She does. And I say, hey, can we go get dinner somewhere? So she has to go through. Do you have time these days to actually?
Let me just finish what I was going to say earlier.
Okay.
So it's so funny that you say that things are good, and you know what I mean, this and that, because they're not. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I sit around I wake up every day and I have the same fears and the same, like, why didn't this happen? You know what I mean? I wish this would have happened. Why don't I have this? It's human condition and human nature, right? You're never going to be happy because success and money and all this stuff, it doesn't fix you, as you well know.
It doesn't. No one can understand that, though, if they're broke or they're not making money. They think you guys are fucking idiots. You have the rest. You have your look. What you're doing? Right. Which we need to look at that.
No, and then the way you get through it is you go. I want to. Sometimes you do a gratitude list.
Oh,
right. I do a gratitude list. I look around my environment. I try to be mindful about my surroundings.
You and I went to a wellness center, and then you went to one about a year later, and I'm seeing the things that I learned through you now. Keep going. I like it.
You know what? I don't like what you're doing.
What?
You're trying to skew the fucking thing to, I know where you were heading, and I'm trying to go the opposite way.
Go the other way, then.
No, but it's because I want the push and pull. I love the push and pull.
I like it, too.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about the dicks later and the sucking, but the thing is that eagle face. Eagle. What's up, man? You good?
No, go back to this.
No, don't tell me what to do. I'm
gratefulness.
The guest.
This was, you were getting deep, right, and I like when you get deep. This is the real you. I want the audience to see the real Bobby, because no one asked you to get deep on these other guys. Shop and all these guys put you on their show and they're like, oh, make me laugh and let's talk about shit. And I, if they don't want to listen to this, I want to get deep with you.
You know, it's so funny because when I went to, let's go back to what happened. Let's go back to what happened to me in August. If that's the direction that you want to go to.
All I want to know is you could always talk to me.
I am going to talk to you, and that's why it's about the inside of you.
God, well, God, listen, when your dad passed, which I know that's where it's starting,
yeah.
I know your world crumbled, and it's been crumbling. And but I told you I was there for you. I knew you were going to get help. I don't know how many times I had to tell you I'm here. And when I say I'm here, you're deflecting. You're looking at my Rudy poster. It's a real signature.
It's a great movie, though.
Sean Astin.
A really good movie.
Great movie. But go ahead. So in August, you lost your dad.
Yeah, I lost my dad. And what happened was my mom called me and she goes, Daddy, he in hospice. I was at a hot dog place. I love hot dogs. I love Chicago and hot dogs because of the peppers and the add extra like.
Were you about to order the hot dog when you heard this message?
No, I had the hot dog in my hand.
Okay.
And I didn't even eat it. I go, what? Daddy in hospice? And I just didn't eat it. And then I went into
panic.
It was not even a panic. It was more of a, it was a shock.
Numb.
Yeah. It's like when I was molested when I was a kid by a guy with Down syndrome.
It's a true story.
It is a true story.
He used to give you candy?
Yeah. My point is that it's the same feeling of just like, it's almost dreamy and otherworldly. It's not good. It's not a good feeling, but it's like, what the fuck? This is like, you know. And so I called my brother, Steve. My brother's freaking out. And we just booked a flight. And then, I hadn't been going to AA meetings in 4 years. At 17 years of sobriety. And then next thing I know, I'm at a place called I might have fucking weed dispensary. I don't want to say the name.
Right.
And I'm in line to get weed after 17 years of being sober. I don't know how I got there, bro. I was going home and I just pulled, it was called Urban Freeze. Great establishment, great weed.
That's where you got your weed.
That's where I got
it. But you hadn't smoked weed in 17 years.
So I ordered, what I bought was, I bought, hey, do you have gummies? So I bought like 15 packets of gummies. And this is how alcoholic my brain is. Because I didn't want to tell my brother or my girlfriend or my mom that I relapsed. So I went to CVS and I got melatonin gummy, you know, candy.
No.
You can get melatonin ones at the sleep section.
Oh, they help you sleep there. Right.
And they're shaped like, they're gummy bears.
So you put them all in there.
But I took all the, I dumped that and I put all the weed ones in there.
Sure.
And so when I was packing to go, that's what I had.
And were they really like, were they strong?
They said they're the most strongest one. They're like, I don't know, 10 milligrams a piece. But after not getting high for over 17 years, you know, I took one and I just completely got almost way too high.
Were you upset with yourself?
No, because I was more upset about my dad. Right. So I was just like, and also I had this feeling of like a new chapter. Like if you were flipping a book, that day was the next chapter. And it was going to be a long, dark
chapter.
You
didn't eat the hot dog. You took the melatonin, the gummies.
Right.
And you're on your way to your dad's funeral.
No, he's still alive.
Or he's in hospice at this point, right.
So I'm completely high. We get to Arizona. We get to the hospice. And my dad is, he's lucid. Like I walked in and he smiled.
I saw you.
Why are you smiling?
Because you just said he smiled, so it made me smile.
Oh, yeah.
Like I was in your fucking moment.
Okay. So he smiled.
Okay.
And my brother and I looked at each other like, oh.
He's fine.
So then, you know, we're like, we kiss him. And he's like, he can't talk. He hasn't been able to talk a very long time. And even when he could talk, you couldn't understand him because of the thick accent. But he basically said, oh, I love you. You know, that kind of thing. And I actually, there was a sense of like, why the fuck did I relapse? He's not dying. What were he doing here? But then the lady came in and was telling me all the problems. And basically, she says, so from now on, he can't either drink water or eat. We're not going to feed him. And then my brother was like, freaked the fuck out. My brother was like, wait, what the fuck? My brother Steve, he's like,
of course.
Wait, what the fuck? You're going to feed him like in a couple of days, right? No, from now on.
Yeah.
But he's going to fucking die then. Right? And they're like, yeah. Right? Because it's like, his lungs and the stomach had so much infection.
It's just what happened with my grandfather in November. Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
They just don't give him. Yeah.
Right.
Nothing.
So then, you know, now we have to sit there for 7 days.
7 days. Sometimes it takes weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
And to see your dad. So from every day, he's now like, you know, just dwindling.
And are you getting higher and higher as you go in there every
higher
day?
And higher.
Don't deflect.
Getting higher and higher.
But were you taking the gummy bears every day now? You're getting used to it?
Yeah.
You're enjoying it?
Yeah.
Does Steve doesn't know about it?
No, no one knows about it. I'm not enjoying it.
But don't they look at you and go, are you okay? Are you on something?
No, because you can brush it off as tears and sadness.
Tired, fatigue.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I'm just tired and sad. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Because your eyes are all bloodshot. You can, you know. And then my brother would stay there at nights. My brother would stay there.
Sleep with him?
Yeah, and he would disturbing photos. He would take photos like, look what dad's doing now. And he's just like staring up at the ceiling. You know what I mean? Like,
why do you want to see that?
I know. Exactly.
I mean, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
In fact, when I saw my grandfather last, I saw him in the home, and I remember he was sleeping with, all, you know, he was sitting on the couch and all these other old people around him. And I walked in the room, and you know, my grandma's like, he's probably not going to remember. I'm like, fuck that. He always remembers me.
Yeah.
He won't, but he's Alzheimer's. I go, Irv. I woke up everybody in the place. His head lifts up and he goes, Mikey.
Oh.
And it was a one in a million. And it was the last time that day was the last time I was with him, like two more days. And then I left, and then it all went downhill out of the blue. And he went into a hospice. And they were like, do you want to come down? I go, no, I don't want to see him like this.
Why? Now,
because I knew what was happening, and I knew that I wanted to remember him. This was for me. It didn't bother me. He was like a father to me. I love this man. And I didn't want to watch him deteriorate. That was for me, though. Everyone's different. And my uncle said, as long as you're okay with that, I go, Irv would fucking look at me and go, what are you doing? What is this? Why are you? Don't get me. Go home. I know he wouldn't want me to see him like that. I just know it. We had a bond. That's my opinion of what I went through, but that everything's different. So go ahead.
It's a chance to witness truth. Us Westerners have such a difficult time with death. You know what I mean? In India and stuff, you know, it's like, it's the most honest, truthful thing that you can, and it's a beautiful thing, you know, and I had to witness it. I was there when my dad took his last breath.
You were there at that moment?
Yes.
Did you say anything to him at that moment, or was he in a coma?
Well, I mean, I couldn't say anything because my mom and my brother were freaking the fuck out.
They were crying?
Yeah.
Whoa. So when he takes his last breath, they're freaking out. Bobby on Gummy Bears or whatever, you're kind of not okay, but you're the mellow one?
Oh, yeah. I'm completely namaste about it.
Were you were keeping them together?
I'm the oldest, so maybe that wasn't it. In retrospect, you know, at the time, I could tell you that I was being Neo from The Matrix and being fucking cool as
Zen and
cool as a cucumber. But in retrospect, I'll tell you what later, but what it was. But when he died, I didn't feel anything and I had sunglasses on and Gucci. And my uncle came in. It's just so funny. My uncle, my dad's brother, youngest brother, drove from San Diego, walked into the hospice, saw my dad's body, got back in the car, and drove back 8 hours.
How long was he there?
For like 1 minute.
What the? What did you say anything?
Bye, uncle. Bye. Wait.
What was it? Were they close?
Yeah. It was his best friend.
He just didn't want to deal with it.
No, it was really kind of cool. It was just like he looked at the body and he made some sort of noise like, something like that. It was no word.
Like a prayer or something.
But it sounded Korean. So he looked down and just got back in the car and we go, bye. And he just drove off.
Did you hug and kiss your mom? Were you like?
No, we took photos.
Stop. You took photos of what?
My mom wanted.
You didn't take photos of your dad dead.
Yeah. My mom goes, we had to take photo. So I had to do like the timer thing with my fucking phone.
You had to set up a timer, reverse the image on your camera,
yeah.
And take a picture of
and
your
we got
mom,
it wrong three
Steve,
times. We got it wrong
you,
three times. So I had to reset it three times.
Could you imagine some nurse just standing there watching this?
I know. But it was.
But why? It seems odd to me. Maybe not odd to you. Because I wouldn't want to. In fact, at the funeral, I didn't want any pictures. I don't want to remember this day. I don't want to remember all the sadness. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's why I have so much emotion.
My mom wanted it.
Were you surprised when she goes, let's get a picture?
No, I was just like, if that's what she wants. So I did the timer thing and we did this, you know what I mean? And my dad was laying there.
But you didn't do anything funny like
face
or anything.
No.
I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah, we didn't do like the Charlie's Angels.
Oh my God. So it was a serious photo. Like, but do you smile in the photos?
No. I could show it to you. But it was. Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, it's so funny because I sent it to Kate and Oliver Hudson. And he goes, that's fucked up. Don't ever do that again. It was great. You know, Oliver, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was shocked because he thought he was alive in the photo. He's like, that's cool. Is your dad sleeping? I go, no, he's dead. And he goes, don't, you know. And he called me and I heard Kate laughing in the background. I love Kate Hudson, big fan. But then what happened was I got back into town.
Right.
And then weird shit started happening.
Like what?
Well, first of all, I'm hiding it from Kalila, my girlfriend that I live with, who I do a podcast with, who's like my best friend.
You're hiding what? Your emotions?
My using.
And you're using.
Yeah, well,
are you using something else now?
No, I'm only smoking and vaping marijuana, right? But you know, when you've been sober for that long, and she's only known me sober, and then when I'm constantly 24/7 high, it's weird.
She knows.
She doesn't know at the time. She just thinks I'm having a fucking meltdown. Because imagine, like, we're in bed and, like, you know, 3 or 4 days in when I get back and she's, like, asking me a question and I'm, like, giggling at a fucking YouTube video.
So she thinks she's having a break.
Yeah, like I'm a nervous breakdown.
So when I came on your podcast right before you went to that wellness center, you were using.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm high right now. I remember, I think you said that.
Yeah, but then what happened was not only am I high, but for some reason, I can't get any food into food down. So every time I would eat something, I would vomit it.
Why?
Well, I didn't know why at the time, but I'll tell you why later. But and then not only that, but I couldn't sleep. So I would get like 1 hour of sleep. I couldn't eat. And I was just constantly high. And then on top of it, hiding it from everybody. And then on top of it, I got a job, you know, a network job on a game show.
Right.
Right. So it was this game show where I had to do athletic competitions.
Right, versus, with a UFC girl, right?
No, with Rob Gronkowski on my team and Venus Williams. And I'm doing 8 1-hour strenuous athletic.
Were you high during it?
Not only high, not eating or sleeping.
Did you have any, like, did you ever fall down and, like, I need a doctor?
My knee blew up to here because I ripped a
tendon.
My quad tendon.
Right.
I couldn't walk, sleep, eat. I was dying. And, like, legitimately, like, I would be on set in front of, like, a live audience. And Keegan Keys is hosting. And people would walk up to me and go, are you all right? And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, I think I'm going to kill myself.
That's how you felt?
Oh, yeah.
You were embarrassed, maybe?
No, I just didn't know what the fuck was going
on. Completely lost.
I had no
out of control.
Out of control, didn't know what the fuck was going on. And it's so funny because this happened in September. So it's not that far away.
And you're grieving at the same time, but you're not.
I'm grieving too, yeah. And I haven't really cried over it either, right? So I'm now having suicidal thoughts and I'm losing my mind and I'm I didn't know what the fuck was going on. And then I remember going on the road. I would go to Portland. And I remember taking my two openers who are in AA. Because I had booked them before I had relapsed. So I have two openers that are in Alcoholics Anonymous that are my friends. Who now have to hide my drug use from them as well. And then I remember taking them to a sushi restaurant after one of the shows. And I took one bite of a yellowtail sushi. And I vomited all over my fucking shirt.
Right in the restaurant.
In front of them. These two fucking narcs called Kalila and just telling me all this stuff that I'm doing. Right to Kalila. Now Kalila's going, my girlfriend's going crazy.
Did you fire them?
No.
When you say narcs, you fucking narcs, you were angry, but now you're not angry with them.
No, I'm
you're
not.
Glad they
At
did
the
it.
Time I was.
Somebody had to say something or you were going down a slippery slope here.
Right. And then.
Were you able to perform?
I don't even remember.
But you were doing your act. You knew it so well that you were able to play
it
off.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know what that show was like. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
Did you care?
No.
You really didn't care?
I didn't care. I think at one show I did like 10 minutes. I was supposed to do 45 minutes. I think I did 10 minutes.
Did they tell you, get back on stage, dude?
No,
what
I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Were you having anxiety?
Well, you can always use, my dad died.
Right.
That's always a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. And so.
It's going to work. Eagle face?
Eagle.
He doesn't look like an eagle face.
Yeah. He's handsome, though.
We needed just a nice buzzkill.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Okay, so this all comes down. Kalila knows what's going on. You get back home.
She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't
now
know
she
that
does.
I'm using. No, she doesn't know I'm using. She just thinks that I'm having, like, there's something going on. And then what happened was one day she just says, I think I'm going to leave. I can't be in this. I don't know what's going on.
What?
Yeah, and I told her, I relapsed. And then it was just chaos.
Did she cry or was she pissed?
I was crying, pissed. It was like chaos. What the fuck? You know what I mean?
And you just had moved into your new house, right?
Yeah, so I'm in this new house. It's crazy. No furniture. It was crazy. And then I go, I don't know what's going on with me, but I have to finish this game show. right? So I will go to some place. I don't know where I want to go. Oliver wanted me to go to the Hoffman Institute. So I was doing research on that, but I don't know. But I needed to do something because I could legitimately feel myself dying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was not just the physical and the mania, you know, and the manic episodes and the eating and sleeping. So, you know, imagine now month and a half, 2 months in, I'm still doing this game show. She's allowing me to use. I go, I'm going to use every fucking day, but now I have to use regular marijuana because the gummies is too much.
And if you stop now, it's like Jack Nicholson doing coke. It will just stop his heart.
Maybe. I don't know.
Or it would probably upset you because you're a drug addict.
Yeah, but I'm smoking now 24 hours a day.
Jesus.
Like I would do 300, 400 hits.
Are you able to be, I don't know why my mind went there. Are you able to perform? Do you have sex at this during this time?
Oh, no, my dick's broken.
Like you're not even thinking of sex.
Oh, no, no.
You're not involved in sex, right?
No.
So she stays with you. She's
barely hanging on.
But if you didn't tell her at that moment, be honest with her, she was gone.
Yeah, but also I was more concerned that we were more concerned about like me. I lost 25 pounds in a month and a half because I couldn't eat and I couldn't barely walk because I have no energy. And so we're more concerned about like my livelihood and being alive. Is it the right word? Livelihood? I don't know. And so one day I run into a friend of ours and she's like, you look like shit. And then she's like, you got to see a therapist. You see my therapist. And I didn't know what to do. And I don't know why I said yes. But I go, oh, I'll see your fucking therapist. But she was a trauma therapist. Her name was Beverly. And I went and saw her and the miracle happened.
What was that miracle?
So we're talking, what's going on? I tell her I relapsed, 17 years, this and that. My dad died. I can't eat, sleep, all that stuff. And then she's like, then we go into like, well, what was it like growing up? And then that's when I started talking about the abuse.
Sexual abuse?
No, the physical abuse.
From your father?
Yeah. You know, my dad, I just remember one time my brother and I were sleeping. I was maybe 6 years old. My brother was three. And it was like 3 a.m. My mom runs into our room. And I remember her turning the lights on and she opened her mouth and all her teeth were gone. Because he punched them out. And then I remember him trying to get into the room. And I remember my brother and I, imagine 6-year-old, 3-year-old, my mom barricading the door, you know, because we know that once he gets in the room, we're all going to get hit, right? He would do shit like just if you looked at him wrong, he would hit you as hard as he could with a golf club on your body.
Was he drunk when he was doing this?
No, he was just a rage, just rage.
Is this something that you always remember?
No, I always knew about it,
but did this bring it out? Did you get this bring it out? Like all of a sudden, like, whoa, this is what's up, how we got to start from here?
What do you mean?
When you're going to therapy and that stuff, is that what they're talking about, going back to the beginning?
Well, no, we were just talking about, like, my dad, and I was saying, I'm concerned that I didn't cry. I think that's what it started. She's like, well, I wonder, so then we explored that aspect of, you know, what was your relationship? I go, my relationship with him was fine for the last, since I became a successful comedian, you know, that, you know, that's when it, you know, kind of, but before that, you know, it was just a dark.
All right, so you're saying that your relationship with your father got better when he saw you being successful, so you felt like he started to love you more?
Yeah.
You know
what?
No, it's tragic. And I,
well, whatever.
No. I'm just,
well, I'm just telling you.
No, I really appreciate that. I'm hearing you.
So, and then here's another story. I remember one time I had meningitis. I was going to die. And I remember we lived in Minnesota, and I remember, like, my dad wanted to take the stairs to take me to the hospital, but my mom wanted to take the elevator because we lived like 7 floors up in this apartment building. And I remember them pulling me, and then my dad let go of me, and then he went, pap, and he hit my mom in the mouth, and I fell to the ground. But I visually remember that shit. That's why it's like,
get that out of your fucking head?
You can't get it out of your head. So it's like, you know, and that was just continuous, right?
So you always feared your father.
Not just him. He would beat the shit out of my cousin. He was a crazy person.
So everybody feared this guy.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the big disconnect for me is, in a way I understand, is that, but you still loved him and you still wanted his approval. You still wanted all these things.
He's my dad.
And even till the end, it's hard to, like, sometimes you think, I know he's your dad, but sometimes you ever think, like, it's still wrong. And I
oh, it's devastating what he did. He affected me in ways that I could explain to you later, of little things that I would do in secret, right, to punish myself. But so check it out. But once I was in her therapy office and I told her all these things, as I would remember leaving it, driving by a Panda Express, and I ordered three different meals there, three different combinations. I could eat again.
By just getting it off your chest.
And then that night I slept for the first time in months.
Have you ever tried EMDR?
That's what we did.
That's what I did. And it
does work.
Dude, I've never been that hysterical in my life where you keep doing the same thing
over on events, and on
over,
events,
yeah. Over, stay there, close your eyes, follow my finger.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I did the machine.
I didn't think I was worthy enough. I was like, no, this is for PTSD. This is for like veterans, people who lose life. I didn't think my shit was, and all of a sudden she taps into something.
Yeah.
And this devastation I felt as a kid comes out. And what's crazy about this is there's some science to it, but then you know that happened, but it doesn't affect you the same way. And it worked for me. It worked for you. So you were able to acknowledge that it happened. It's there. You somehow forgave him.
Well, what happened was after leaving there and eating, when I was eating, I thought to myself, what? There's a connection now between my childhood and my trauma and my body, right? I could make that, you know, between the brain and your body, there's a connection between. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I have to deal with this, right? So then that's when I went to PCS in Arizona.
How long?
For 2 weeks. And it was from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. You're doing EMDR.
Did you do art therapy?
Art therapy.
Psychotherapy.
The everything.
Yeah,
everything,
yeah.
Everything.
Expensive?
Yeah. Pretty expensive. Gucci.
So did you go in there thinking, were you open-minded, or at first you were kind of like, and then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, something's happening.
Well, when I walked in there the first day, I remember the lady, Marilyn Murphy, comes out and she's explaining, and I'm in a group and you're with the same group for the whole time.
Right.
And you're in a group with these people that are like, you know, there's one Orthodox Jewish guy with the little the hairs and the hat.
Pesos.
Whatever. Right. And then, you know, I mean, there's a house mom, you know, her wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, there,
I had someone staying with me and like, you have to check out if you want to take a walk.
Yeah. So in the beginning, you're like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Exactly.
Shit? Like, right.
Oh, fuck.
But then it's so funny because when it was over, I didn't want to leave them.
I didn't either.
They're my best friends.
Yeah.
You
know what it is? You feel safe. For the first time in your life, I bet you really felt safe.
Yeah. And I also like working on myself. I enjoy the process of feeling better and dealing with things, you know? So, you know, by doing that process, I remember I did an EMDR session, and what they made me do is they made me go to a mall and go to a Build-A-Bear. And I go, why do I have to go to the fucking mall? And they go, well, because we want you to make a doll that represents your original child, the child that first comes out of the womb, you know, that needs just love,
attention,
nurturing. All the things that a baby needs, you know? And so I remember getting the doll, and I remember when I was eating with Kalila, because Kalila went with me to the mall, and I was holding the baby while I was eating, and she cried the way I was holding the fucking doll.
You're holding yourself.
I was holding myself, yeah.
And you meant it. You were doing the work.
Yeah.
You weren't trying to be funny. You were doing it.
No, yeah. And then later that day, I did an EMDR session where it was about one traumatic experience with my dad. And then she told me to pull out my doll and then, you know, tell your original self, right? I mean, the how you're going to protect him. And I ended up on the fucking ground crying so hard, holding this thing.
Yeah.
And then, because I didn't grieve my dad. And then when I walked out of that session, I said one thing. I miss you, Dad. Like, bro, for 2 hours, I had to have people pick me up from the asphalt. I was crying so hard.
Just from that moment?
Yeah.
Like it all hit you with one word, just two words, three words.
Yeah, I grieved right then and there. And then also when I went in there, I got sober. I have 84 days now. And so, wow. You know, so I got sober there as well. I go to a lot of meetings every day.
Every day?
Yeah. When I was in Hawaii, you know, when I was shooting Magnum PI, I went to meetings on my off days, which I never used to do. So I'm very diligent and I have trauma therapy every week with my counselor, Beverly.
What does that entail? Like, what?
She's a therapist. She's a trauma therapist. I do EMDR with her. And
so does EMDR. So I did it only twice, 2 days.
Yeah.
And the first time it really worked. And the second time I felt like it was forced. Like I'm trying to force something out of me. And I couldn't get comfortable and I couldn't do it.
Well, that's a part of it. So you go, you know, you have to be honest with yourself. And, you know, I'm a performer.
So we want to like.
We're performers.
We want to do it right.
Right. So I, and the whole idea of EMDR is every time it doesn't, is not, you're not going to have a breakthrough. Sometimes you're going to be like, I'm thinking too much. Mm-hmm. It's that, not working. That, you know what I mean? All that stuff. So, you know, you have to do it a lot. You know, and I have so many, you know, I go to different memories. And you do EMDR, sometimes a bunch of sessions on one memory. But what that memory happens, it just, it becomes smaller. And the weight isn't as heavy. It's still there, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, trauma, not only does it affect you mentally, it affects you physically. It causes.
I have tics and things that have caused from things in the past. And I'm just like, you know, I can feel in my body that they just haven't been let out. They're just like these dark. Yeah. I feel that same way.
You're more prone to getting cancers and strokes and whatnot. Body aches.
Do you feel good? Do you feel like you still have a lot of work to do? Or do you feel like, I think I'm feeling the way I should have felt a long time ago.
Well, I don't do the thing. See, here's what I wanted to say to you is that you don't know is that every time I would, before this, every time I would have a bad audition, I would have to bleed.
You'd cut yourself?
No, I would take a bottle of water and I'd hit my head over the head 100 times until blood was over my face. I did that every time.
Every time you
had a bad audition or I perceived that I had a bad audition. You know, every time I make a mistake, I have to punish myself the way my dad punishes me.
Oh my God. Yeah, so, I never knew anything like that.
Yeah, so, you know.
For a long time you've been doing that.
Oh, for 25 years. It insidiously, the effect of my childhood has seeped into every aspect of my life. And so all those things that I used to do to punish myself, I don't do anymore, obviously. And number two, because... not only am I aware of the actions of doing it, why I'm doing it, but it's also, I don't feel the need as much to do it. I don't want to do it, you know? And I think that has a lot to do with dealing with, you know what I mean? I'm not done with a lot of it, right? But during the process of it, it's really just to help me out in my daily life in terms of like even depression and, you know, like the things that we're saying before, making a gratitude list, you know, doing the tools.
Routines.
To do it, yeah.
Do you journal now? Do they show you like the journal every day or?
Yeah, man, I fucking journal.
I do too, I never done it.
God, man. Fuck, dude.
By the way, I'm blown away by your vulnerability. I just can't believe like.
I didn't know. This is what you wanted.
It's not what I wanted. I wanted you
to kiss your sack and then like, this is what
I wanted you to feel comfortable, like just, you know, to me, like I went through this and. You know, I'm not comparing, but it's like, wow. Just when I was like, oh, my shit was tough. I'm like, Bobby went through. Do you feel like now you're.
What? Now that I'm what?
No, I just feel like I, you know, when you're young, I just felt like no one was ever sort of taking care of me, saying, I'm proud of you. You're good enough. All these things that you never got, you were like sort of getting through other things, attention, funny, this, we're doing all this, blah, blah, until one day you either decide to find out what the fuck this is all about and then you dig deep and then you go, am I worthy? I am worthy and I got to find out why I'm worthy and how I'm not stupid. I found it a lot. I always thought you're incredibly stupid. There were just all these things, you know, it just was so overwhelming and I didn't really know where it stemmed from. And when that comes out and it still happens, sometimes I get nervous because I'm like, oh my God, I hope that I was at the Magic Castle and the magician's like looking around. Oh, who's going to be my helper? I'm like, not me. I'm stupid. I'm going to fuck your trick up.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
fucking pick me.
Right, right.
And it all stems from being that, like, that kid who wasn't, like, you know, good enough. Dude, I fucking can't believe you went through that shit. And what's amazing is that's sort of what happened to me, is I kind of forgave at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I, what? But you do. Somehow that's the only way, isn't it?
It's a miracle, though, too, that, like, you know, people with our backgrounds, you know, sometimes, you know, even the counselor said, and I don't even understand it really, but they're like, it's a miracle that you even was able to carve out any sort of resemblance of a life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they go, that's, you know, has something to do with your resilience and survival techniques. I always had humor as a defense mechanism, and I had no skill sets except to be funny. And, but I used that one skill set to create a career, right? So, you know, in many ways I could have become a serial killer or a guy that caused other people trauma.
You think you could have done that?
No, but I'm just saying that a lot of people with my background have crazy, the trajectory of their lives go a different direction, you know? But for me, I don't know what it is, but I was always like, even when I was 23, I remember being at a comedy club, an open mic, and I remember just going, you have, this is it. That's why all these people from San Diego hated me back then as an amateur, because I would just so like fucking, you know what I mean? I have to do, this is.
I have to be great.
Not just great, this is it. I have no other fallback position. I have no college degree. I have no other dreams.
This is your purpose.
Or this or nothing. So when you're, when you have a kid like that, you know, I climbed pretty fast. You know, I mean, I started at 23. By the time I was 30, I did The Tonight Show, which is a big thing for a kid from San Diego with my kind of background, you know? And I just crawled my way up to that thing, you know? So, but now my life isn't about that. My life is a, you say in the beginning of the podcast, you're doing great, this and that, but I'm doing great in terms of my mental health, I think. And that's all I really right now care about. All this other stuff is fine and great. And, you know, I'm blessed and happy and grateful. I get depressed.
They just want to be healthy.
I just don't want to fucking kill myself, bro.
Do you still feel like that?
That's why.
Right. Because you're doing all the work.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're worthy.
Yeah. Like when I'm in, you know, when I was in Hawaii last week and I was like, oh, but by the way, I have to talk to you about. So I go to this show Magnum PI, and this was the first test of my, you know, my mental health. I show up, and the director was a guy named Peter Weller.
I remember Peter Weller. He was a tough guy. He was a RoboCop?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know what he said to me the first day at work? He was directing the show. His opening line to me was this: don't fuck this up.
Was he kidding around?
I don't know.
He's probably kidding around.
Didn't sound like it to me.
Right.
I didn't laugh.
No.
And he walked away. And then after the first take of the first day, he goes, energy, energy! Like that. And what are you doing?
You didn't like this.
No, I don't like it. Because it reminds me of my dad. And when I'm around the presence, and I told that to Jay Hernandez and Perdita Weeks, who are the stars of the show. I go, that's my dad. Because they did my podcast that Saturday. So, and they also, I'm friends with them, so they know my past as well. And so the whole time, that whole week, shooting with this guy was like fight or flight for me, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
Did he ever know that? Did you ever tell him?
Yeah, but you know me. You know, for me, what I did was I would just start saying shit back. That's my dad, dude. You know, yeah, I don't respond to stuff like that. That energy, you know what I mean? And then like, but I remember the first last day of shoot, I was like, I had this one complicated line. I hated it. I didn't understand the line.
You probably still remember it.
I don't even remember. I can't even say it because I don't even know how, that's how difficult the line was.
Are you embarrassed?
I don't care at this point.
That's good. I wish I didn't care.
I just want to get the fuck out of there.
All right.
It's embarrassing. Yeah, it really is.
I get embarrassed.
But what's worse was him shaming me afterwards.
This
guy
say?
Can't even out loud. He goes, this guy can't even do one line. In front of the whole crew.
And they're all kind of like,
people are kind of uncomfortably laughing. And I'm sitting there just staring at the table, just going, it has nothing to do with you.
This is just him.
It's not personal.
This is just his his issues.
And also, because I can't do this one line, eventually I think they got it. I don't even remember. But also, you, normally what I would have done a year ago is go to my hotel room and cut myself with razor blades because I couldn't do that one line.
You didn't do that?
No, I just sat there and went. I was so happy. I almost felt like crying.
Because you...
And I was sitting there going, oh, shit, I'm embarrassed. I feel like, you know, he's shaming me, you know, but I could separate the fact that, you know what I mean, I'm a human being, you know what I mean, under this circumstance, I don't really perform great, you know what I mean, when I'm under this kind of pressure, and I know that about
who
myself.
Who does?
Right, so, you know, I was able to put all into context in a certain perspective and go, it is what it is, it's a bad day, it's a bad week. I may never do the show again, you know, and it's okay.
You know, Ryan, all I can think about is you're going to have to take the sound out of me biting my nails. I've never done this. You have caused me to bite my fucking nails.
Why?
Because I'm on edge with your story. Like, I've never been like this with anyone's story. Like, this is, for me, the most raw, honest thing. And I know you're my boy, and I appreciate you doing, like,
you're my
talking.
Boy. You're my boy. You're my boy.
But by the way, you know how he just wrote nails. Got a fucking.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I do the opposite thing. And I've got to, you're more mature right now doing what you do, because when there's a somebody on set or somebody that's kind of being the guy, like, no, this is going to. I always got it. My thing is, like, I'm not going to fucking let that guy do that. And it's like, I don't like authority. I don't like when people, I could feel myself getting worked up right now. I remember there was this guy, Michael Ironside. He was a scanner. Remember his head blew up?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck was going on, but I was on the Smallville set. And, you know, I've been on the set for years. And I'm like laughing and talking to everybody. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And this guy goes up to me and goes, this guy, huh?
He's directing?
No, he's looking at him. He's just an actor on the show, a guest star. This guy. Yeah, what's going on, man? What's going on with you, huh? And I go, what is he, are you serious right now?
He's like,
you're that guy, right? You always gotta be the funny guy. I gotta be this. He's just like calling me out.
Yeah.
And I feel it. I feel like I'm being shamed. I feel like that father figure. I feel like that's I'm being a kid again, being reprimanded. And it's brewing. And I'm like, oh my God, I was in such a good mood. And now I'm just like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm really uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, hey man, you could be this guy when it's, you know, when you're one of the leads on the show, not when you're a fucking guest star. I just looked at him right in the fucking eyes.
Whoa, dude.
I was, dude.
That's fucking heavy, bro.
I felt it there.
I felt you doing it.
I just was like, you're not going to fucking come in here and like make me feel like this shit and belittle me in front of people. So I don't like how sometimes when people push my buttons, I don't do it often, but when someone gets under my skin and really comes after me or just, and I give them a chance like, okay. And then when I hit that point, it's like, fuck you, man. Now we're on. And it was just one of those moments where like, dude, I don't fucking care. I remember there's been moments in my life like, what am I doing? Give me another story.
I love stories.
I remember
like
my
this.
Buddy in Vancouver once. We were just going across the street with my other friends, Tom and Ian, and you know, I was doing a show up there and he was doing something else and I was bald. And I remember him kind of smacking me on the bald head. It was cold, it was winter.
Yeah.
I go, dude, cut it out, man.
Yeah.
Like, pop. And I go, dude. That hurts, man. Stop that. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
And he did it again and again. And finally I go, hey, stop doing that, man. And then a few minutes later, pop. And I turned to him, much bigger, brawler, could kick my ass in a heartbeat. And I go, buddy, if you fucking hit me one more time, I'm going to punch you in your fucking face. I don't care if you beat me up. I will get one fucking punch and I will fucking bust your face up. Do it one more fucking time. And I remember he just goes, dude, calm down. And he didn't fucking hit me because he knew that I was going to fucking do something.
Yeah.
At least I'm not the guy where you say one thing. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You got to push my buttons.
Yeah,
and this guy on set, I remember. Yeah. I remember one director once. There's another one on Smallville. He's like, I was like, hey, you know, I got to get the flight out because I got to get home to whatever. I have a family thing. He goes, yeah, I know. And he's being cocky about it. And then I remember he goes, and Welly knows the story. He was Clark Kent on Smallville. And he goes, finally I go, dude, we got to get to this scene. He goes, you know what? We're not going to do that scene today. You're not going to make your flight. We're going to shoot it tomorrow morning. You know why? Because I'm the director. And I remember looking at him and going, guys, to the crew, I go, you know, I'm a humble person. I would never do this or say something like this unless I was provoked by a fat ass director. I go, I'm one of the leads on the show. Do you know who's getting fired first? You fuck. And then the AD comes up to me. The AD comes up to me and goes, oh, guys, can we talk about
it? I love it.
Can we talk about this offset? And I go, we certainly can. And this is a big dude. I know, again, I get my ass kicked, but he's like fucking with me. Why are you being a dick? I'm not being a dick.
Yeah.
And then he goes, all I did was this. I'll never forget it. I go, look, man, like that. And he goes, like he thought I was going to hit him. He goes, oh. I go, what, do you want to fucking fight me? You want to fight me now? It was so uncomfortable.
I love it.
It was so, but it's just like, you know, I guess it's like people push your buttons, man. Yeah, and I lost my shit. Are you thinking of cutting that?
No.
You can't cut that part.
Well, he was looking at me like, that's Jesus. Golden.
No, that's the good shit. You can't cut that.
So look, I feel like you, and I feel like this insecure kid, and then something comes out of me like, I can't be, I'm going to shut down. I'm going to fight or flight. I'm going to cry.
You fight. I fly. You know what I mean? I'm the flight or a freeze. I either freeze or a flight. You're a fighter, but it's the same.
I don't know if I'm always a fighter. I think I freeze too.
No, I've never fought back. But you know what? I want to fight.
I think you would.
I'd rather fight.
I think if somebody treated you like that on set now with your improvement and all the shit you're working on, you'd be like, you know what, buddy? Don't talk to me like that. Just don't talk to me like that. Mind your own business.
Yeah.
And that will make you feel good.
I remember I had a director who called me a racial slur.
What'd he say?
Something like, hey, Ching Chong, you know what I mean? Can't you see through those Ching Chong eyes or something like that? Yeah. And I remember going like this, I'm sorry. Like, I cowered. And it's one of those things where in my mind, I'm like, I wish, because I was a young guy. It was in like the 90s.
You wish you had power or something?
If he would never work again.
No.
I would call everybody. It would be a disaster for him.
Could you imagine all those Tiger Belly people?
It would be nuts. It would be a disaster for him. Yeah, but I love shit like that.
Hey, listen, I have a Patreon account, and these are people who subscribe to my Patreon.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And I know you have one, but they really help support the show. They do, because I need them. I'm not like, you know. Okay, this is called Shit Talking Questions. These are from patrons. There's some good questions here. Quickly answer them. You don't have to take a long time.
I want to.
Raj. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Tequila.
Tequila.
Yeah.
Because you don't sing much, right? Is there much many words?
Just one word.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did you just come up with that?
No.
You're really singing that?
Yeah.
Tequila.
If they ask, because I don't like doing karaoke, I'll do tequila.
Angie, what would you say is the most unhelpful advice you've given on your podcast to date? That when you said something, you went back and go, what the fuck was I giving that advice for?
Usually, if somebody doesn't want to have sex with somebody because it's I say leave them.
Go what?
Ahead. Well, you know, I remember somebody saying like, you know, I'm dating this girl. It's 3 months in. She won't have sex with him, and I go, just leave the bitch. You know what I mean, kind of thing. When they could have been 17, and who knows the scenario?
Yeah, well, you didn't know. It was just why did I say that?
Yeah.
Sophie M, any funny stories from the Kicking It Old School movie? That's what we did. I remember you and I were naked a lot.
Well, you showed me your penis.
You showed me yours
first. You did.
I don't know if that was true.
100%, because I remember the day.
Was that when we bonded?
No, I walked into my own trailer and I turned around and you were leaning against a wall in my own trailer with your penis out.
Would that be considered harassment today?
Not to me. That's a Korean hello.
Tom, funniest story while filming Mad TV.
Oh my God, I have so many.
What's the one that just fucking comes to light?
Well, there's one that I haven't really told much, which is just one day that Jordan Peele was like, one day he only had like one scene where he had to carry in a glass of water. He was a waiter, right? So he had just, right? But then he got really high because, you know, he had no line.
Right.
But we knew that he wasn't going to be able to do it because he was so high because he had to balance his glass. He just had to put the fucking glass on the table, right? And I remember we're all sitting behind the monitor watching Jordan come out and just seeing the fucking water. You know what I mean? And it's spilling, shattering
and
on the ground.
And he didn't know you were fucking with him.
No. It was so fun. But that was my memory.
Andrew C., what's the worst celebrity interaction you've experienced? Oh, Peter Weller.
No, yeah, but I have another one that was...
Tom Selleck?
No, last summer. And I didn't even fucking know the guy. And he kind of yelled at me for no reason. It was like, I was doing Pauly Shore's movie, which is... I don't know what it's called.
It was funny. The documentary thing?
No, it was a real movie. Oh, yeah, a scripted movie.
Right.
And Billy Zane was on it. And I had just gotten on the set, and somebody was like, hey, look at the set. I walked in. I was just talking. And then Billy's like, hey, shut up to me. Right. And I just got, I don't know what the fuck is going. No one told me that they're shooting anything. And I remember looking at Billy Zane going, oh, you want to go there? I'm small. You're a handsome guy. You're a Titanic. I got nothing. We'll see what goes on now. You want to have a war with me because you don't even know what I have. I have an army. Billy?
Are you friends now? No. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Mary B., good question. Would you, could you play a serious role in a non-comedy series?
Yeah, I would love to.
I know you can.
I would. I've done it.
Lisa, any upcoming acting gigs? Thought you were great in Splitting Up Together in Love, but and Love. Both were brilliant shows that ended too soon. I saw you on, yes.
I wrote a show with my friend, and it's about a Korean spa in Koreatown. And it's a three-camera sitcom about a Korean family that runs this really bad Korean spa. And CBS Studios bought it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But we have to write it and do the pilot and
well,
stuff.
Well, it's going to work. You're going to get good writers. Don't deflect with a tongue slap. Nico P. Nico. How do you know when you're in the zone when you're on stage during a set? How do you know when I fucking got him?
Here's the thing. There's two things that you have to remember. When you're about to perform, there's two feelings that you have. Number one, sometimes you have to push your way up on stage, but then sometimes you get pulled. Do you see, you know the difference?
Pushing is like, get the fuck on because you don't feel like it. Yeah, you don't feel like you're funny.
Pulling is
like something's pulling you. Like, I can't wait to
get up there.
How often do you get pulled?
Rarely. But when I get pulled, it's always great.
Electric.
Yeah. I have to take a shit in your bathroom. Can I?
I think that's a perfect way to end this podcast. Buddy, this has been amazing. You got Tiger Belly, and the other show is
Bad Friends.
Bad Friends with Andrew Santino. Andrew said he's going to come on the podcast. You'll get him on here, right?
What did he say? He hasn't done it yet?
No. He said he would. Yeah, he said he was going to do it.
Hey, man, I really have to take a shit.
All right, listen, thank you. I know you'll do it here. Listen, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you. I love you. This was joyous. I want to come back on Tiger Belly, as you know. When you need a guest last minute, you know to call me, right?
Yeah.
Bobby Lee, thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, yeah. Dude, I love that guy. Bobby Lee, he's, you know,
yeah,
just a beautiful mess.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, he's got a big heart. I know his story. I've known him forever. And it's just lovely to, he's just always so, he's a good friend. You know, I've talked about this before, I think, but, you know, the people who come back on the podcast, it's really just, everyone's busy. Who wants to go to someone's podcast? By the way, who wants to go again? Stephen Amell did, Bobby Lee, Tom Welling, Jamie Lynn Sigler, Jennifer Love Hewitt's coming back. This is nice. It's nice when you have friends that will come over and because they know I love this. They know I'm doing something good. They know that it's I'm passionate about it, and I think they that is nice.
Yeah.
I want to give a big shout out to all the patrons, the top tier patrons. Without you guys, I don't know if we'd be able to run the show. And that's Allison L., Andrew C., Angelina G. Lee, Barry I., Bobby Bortex. We got Brian H. What if I just started making up words? Well, like Brian H. be Brian hot as hell. Chris. Oh, he doesn't have a last name on here. Dion K. That doesn't work. Emily. Emily S. Hamza B. Hamza sounds like a new name, Hamza. Jason D, Jason W, Jennifer S. We met on Facebook, and you're just so sweet. You're a new top tier. I love you. Jerry W, you're new. I love you, Jerry W. Jill E, Joshua D, Kevin R, Lauren G, Leah S. You know I love you, Stubby. Mark A, Michael S, Nancy D, my love. Nika, my love. Raj, Robert B, Rox Raccoon is in the hizzle. Samantha M, Sarah V, Sean W, Stacy L, Tiana, Trisha, Vanessa in the sky.
With diamonds.
And you, Kiko. Yeah, a lot of new patrons. And what a treat, man. I don't know what I do with that, you guys. Thank you, all the new top tier patrons. Thanks to all my patrons. Like I said, whether it's a buck or nothing, or whether you just listen for free or the $25, whatever they do, it's just amazing. It's just fuck it. Thanks, man. Thanks for everything. Thanks, guys. Great. Also, please follow us Inside of You on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. really helps get those numbers up. Sponsors look at that shit. They're like, oh, he's got this many subscriptions or this. It helps. So it might mean nothing to you and you listen to it. And I love that it's free for you. But for us, it helps us out. So make sure you follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's either at Inside of You Pod or at Inside of You Podcast. And again, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Start watching that. Get those numbers up. Ryan, man, be safe. Be healthy. You know, here's that theme music. I love the theme music that we did. It was so good, right?
Oh, it was
Ryan,
amazing.
It was just, we winged it. It was one take. Whatever it is, it is. But maybe we could write something together. That could be our outro.
We can.
Write something more with words.
That's the end.
Inside again.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening to Bobby Lee. And the merch store is Inside of You Online, Inside of You Online Store, whatever. They have tons of hats and shirts and all that stuff. And anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. And thanks for allowing me to be inside of all of you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.